Hello, and welcome to Out of My Mind in Costa Rica, where we talk about all things related to post-traumatic stress and complex post-traumatic stress, which means the content in this podcast can be graphic. And if you suffer from PTSD or complex PTSD, keep in mind you could become triggered. Should that happen, stop the podcast and take care of yourself. If you want, you can always come back later. I'm the guinea pig here, and it is my life I examine on Out of My Mind in Costa Rica. It is my hope that my trials and tribulations, successes and failures, will somehow compel you to examine your life and discover your gifts. Socrates said, "A life unexamined is a life not worth living." This is a call to action for all of us. As a clinical social worker for more than 25 years, this was my trade, my vocation, and from personal experience, I can tell you without a doubt that what you don't know can hurt you. My entire life, I've been compelled to support and encourage people to grow, to boldly look within and courageously examine their lives. Shine your light onto those dark spaces, and the solutions you seek will reveal themselves. Now, please, have a seat, relax, and listen to Out of My Mind in Costa Rica. Hello, and welcome to Out of My Mind in Costa Rica. I'm your host, Ray Erickson. It's March 11th, 2021, and today I'm talking about communication. This is a subject that is near and dear to me. My job as a clinician was to help people communicate better with each other. It was a major focus of my practice for over 25 years. Poor communication is the number one problem that couples experience in their relationships. And good communication is the best intervention. Most of us are on our own when it comes to communicating effectively with our partners, our coworkers, and our friends. For me, a strong relationship or marriage is the result of good communication. And most people with CPTSD never experienced healthy communication. So how the hell do we communicate effectively? We need to teach ourselves how to be better communicators. Remember, you are responsible for you. If you become a better communicator, your relationship with your significant other will improve. Most people who struggle with CPTSD grew up in a dysfunctional family where communication was terrible for many reasons. But that was then, and you are smart. You can learn effective communication and listening skills. There's nothing mysterious about being a good communicator. Communicating is a skill. Listening is a skill. Just like riding a bike or jumping a rope are skills. Speaking of skills, I realized something on Tuesday. It was a typical day, and as usual, I'm asking myself questions and seeking out the answers when lo and behold, stonewalling came into my mind. I said to myself, stonewalling, is that what's going on? After a couple of searches and reading some relevant articles, I realized that I was being stonewalled by my wife. In fact, I've been stonewalled for years. How can that be? How could I not recognize the signs? Me, of all people. I should have noticed this a long time before. What a dope I've been. Jeez. This is where my head goes. I question my ability to test reality, and I begin to feel despair. Over the years, I have worked with hundreds of couples deep in the phrase of a duel to the death, with stonewalling used as a weapon of choice. And it literally blows my mind that I was not able to see this. This is why it is so important for me to talk about this lethal and toxic communication pattern. It amazes me how blind one becomes when they are in love. Maybe what I feel for my wife is not love. Maybe it's bondage. I am bound to the fantasy that one day my wife would realize that her go-to response, stonewalling isn't working any longer. Silly me. After all these years of being stonewalled, I really should have known better. Blindness to my reality is complex post-traumatic stress disassociation, and I am just now recognizing it. I am still fucking dissociating, silently slipping through the looking glass into another world. This is truly a bizarre experience, I have to tell you. In my CPTSD brain, I have an image of what good communication looks like. It's not a fantasy. It's a real thing. At least I don't think it's a fantasy. Because the image that's painted has been painted with good science and years of clinical experience. I know what constitutes good communication, but I now see something that I didn't see before this week. Here's what I think is happening. When in relationship, I default to my fantasy communication. And when the stonewalling predictably occurs, I'm caught off guard. I don't see it coming, and I'm often triggered by this. I'm getting better at recognizing when I'm in the fantasy and when I'm triggered. There have been more and more moments when I recognize that I am about to be triggered, and this is progress. I'm not so good at shutting down the system, but I'm optimistic that I'll be able to step back before a trigger has ignited the explosives. I can only hope. Even though I struggle with re-regulating myself, I have come to know that the triggers represent my inner six-year-old experiences. For example, I begin a conversation with my wife about a personal issue I am having with her. Because I am living in this perfect fantasy world, I'm assuming she will respond in a healthy way. And when she does not, I feel blindsided. I'm surprised and confused. This triggers my amygdala, and I'm off to the races. I seem to be wearing a veil of innocence, and I don't realize I'm walking into dangerous territory. It's like a la-da-da, la-da-da, la-da-da. I don't know. I think I'm conscious, but maybe I'm not. Along with the fantasy communication, also playing in the background is another fantasy where my wife has my best interest in mind as well as hers. Tuesday, I realized that I'm only half right. She certainly has her best interest in mind, but there's nary a whisper of my best interest at hand. When I directly confront the stonewalling, her response is even more stonewalling. Let me make this clear. Confronting the stonewalling only invites more stonewalling. This is another lesson I've learned. In my mind is a movie, a little movie of a tiny, terrified person. And that person is desperately piling stones up in a frantic effort to build a wall. This is an incredibly sad image for me. I also know my wife is not personally attacking me, even though it feels like it. Her response is not personal at all. It's how she sees the world, and it's who she is. In times of crisis, she survived by stepping back and getting the hell out of Dodge. She retreats into her fortress of solitude where she is completely insulated. Nothing gets in and nothing gets out. She truly does not see the relevance of communicating her thoughts and her feelings. It's her business. Therefore, she only sees my efforts as a personal attack. And this triggers her need to retreat deep into her fortress of solitude, where nothing gets in, nothing gets out, and nothing gets resolved. Our relationship has clearly been the blind leading the blind. My blindness to the dysfunction in our marriage, and her blindness to opportunities to take a risk so she could feel safe in a relationship. This mutual blindness has brought me to the breaking point, and I need to throw in the towel. There's been no evidence that my wife will risk her internal sense of safety and security and permit herself to be emotionally vulnerable with me. And me, I am weary of this dance. We have danced this dance for years, and I am tired. The teacher will appear when the student is ready. Well, I must be ready. I don't care if it took me more than a decade to realize that our marriage was doomed from the start. Sometimes optimism can have some disastrous results. My blind optimism kept the fantasy alive for years, long past the time any normal person would have tolerated. I am frustrated and I'm angry with myself. I'm fucking 70 years old, and I have started my life over so many times. I don't know if I have enough juice. I'm really trying hard to be gentle with myself, and at the same time not to become enraged at the games that have been played over the years. It grieves me so to think that the repeated experiences of abandonment and triggering. I cringe at the memories of the suffering we have both endured. I used to call it determination or faith. I was determined to make our marriage work. But as of Tuesday, I realize nothing is going to work. And that's really sad. I'm beaten down. I'm worn out. I'm exhausted, as well as angry and contemptuous and bitter. It is best to let this relationship go. Nothing I do will make a difference. That said, there's not much keeping me here in Costa Rica. For the first time since moving here, I am thinking about returning to the States. I don't know when, and I don't know where. Not yet. It has only been a few days since the full truth has been presented to me, and I still have a bunch of grief and loss to process. It has been an amazing ride. I have learned so much, and I've grown incredibly. So much so, it's hard to quantify. I will definitely take a closer look at this awakening experience. Hopefully, I'll make something of a future episode of it. But for today, I want to stay focused on communication in CPTSD relationships. If you are in a relationship with someone who has complex post-traumatic stress, you need to be a good communicator. And you need to take responsibility for your communication. It's the same for the person with CPTSD. I hold them accountable, and I hold myself accountable, as well as all of you out there. Take responsibility for your communication and practice good communication skills. Good communication gets communicated. It's that simple. The proof is in the pudding. And when you speak, speak in a way that the listener understands. If the person you are communicating with does not understand what you're saying, then you are not communicating. And it is not the listener's fault. Don't get frustrated with them. The communicator is responsible for being clear and needs to communicate in a way the listener can understand. Take marriage, for instance. If you want to see bad communication in its natural environment, then you need to look no further than your own relationship. That's right. Your very own relationship is tainted with lousy, ineffective, head-numbing, crappy communication, and both of you and your partner are contributing to the problem. When one or both people in the relationship has CPTSD, then the experience gets magnified. These poor souls spend a lot of time in their heads having imaginary conversations with people all day long. That is part of what defines CPTSD. The problem with all of this inner dialogue is that it's in our heads. In order for your inner dialogue to be effective, you must be willing to put your self-talk into practice. And good communication takes practice. And it takes two to practice communication. When one partner is stonewalling, it means they are unwilling or they are unable to practice good communication skills. They are stuck in their fantasy world, which is a hostile and unforgiving world. I can't tell you what fantasies my wife entertains, but I'm quite sure they are dark and scary. She learned early in life that stonewalling kept people at bay, and it kept her safe. This is how she coped. This is how she protected herself. Now, if I message her a question related to our relationship, she simply doesn't respond to it. She hasn't responded to any of my questions related to intimacy, period. I have no idea what drives this behavior. Probably fear. Fear of what? I have no idea. But I believe she, too, doesn't understand what compels her to stonewall. In fact, I am sure she is unaware she is even doing it. On Tuesday, it dawned on me as well that I will never know who this woman really is. I will never know how she felt growing up and what her hopes and dreams are. There's no access to those life experiences. She can't trust anyone with that information, and that's that. My observations over the past dozen years have convinced me her world is a battlefield, a war zone, men versus women. And me, being a man, that makes me suspect to begin with. Men are untrustworthy, lying, cheating, good-for-nothing bastards, period. I'm sure that, at this point, I am just like all the other men. Am I? Probably in some ways. Attachment theory does a good job of identifying our individual styles of attaching in relationship. Attachment theory is also spot on when it comes to the types of person that I am attracted to. I know now that I'm drawn to the insecure, dismissive types. My insecure, anxious attachment style fits like a fine leather glove on the hand of the insecure, dismissive person. That is, until the seams are torn apart and all hell breaks loose. I've been here before, several times. And I have said in previous episodes, this time is different. My eyes have seen the light, and my ears will no longer tolerate the lies, the deception, and the secrecy that are hallmark traits of dismissive types. I will not be dismissed anymore. Even though it's been hell, I'm grateful. I have grown over the past 3 to 4 years. The man I am today and the path I have been on for much of my life is now clear to me. My wife and I have each paid a heavy price to be where we are now. At the same time, I feel grateful for the awareness of my patterns and the patterns in my mates that I choose. And I'm fairly sure the next time will be different. After all, I'm only 69 years old. Who knows how long my sorry ass will be around on this rock? This time it will be different because I know I'm not the same person. I'm no longer the guy who ventured Costa Rica to meet a beautiful and exotic woman. I am more grounded and more conscious of the many ways that I am responsible for my life. Before I met my wife, I didn't know I had CPTSD. Well, hell, CPTSD didn't even exist officially 12 years ago. But over the past 4 years, it has become more and more recognized. I'm grateful for all of my experiences in this marriage because without them, I may never have become conscious of even having CPTSD. I have given this relationship everything I could. I did my best, and I believe she did her best. As hard as it is, the only solution is to leave. And this frees me. I no longer need to struggle in a blind effort to make this marriage work. I need to let it go. And when I release myself, some toxic aspects of this relationship, then the possibilities are limitless. Yeah, leaving is painful, and my grief over what might have been is overwhelming. However, I have a strong heart, and I have a strong will to move forward in my life. All of these technical matters relating to our relationship will be worked out, and both of us will experience a positive net gain. At least I hope so. Let me give you an update on the cannabis cleanse I began at the beginning of this month. My cannabis cleanse began with a lot of depression, but the tide is turning this week. Day by day, it has been slowly but surely getting easier to get through each day. The depression is lifting. Over the past few days, I am sleeping better and I have been more productive. I also feel less chest congestion, and I'm not having coughing spells in the middle of the night. I still struggle living life without my daily doses of pot and the ever so familiar euphoria. Each day I remain clean is another day that I feel this is a good decision. Well, today marks day two of smoking again. It's been a tough fucking week. Hell, what's a guy to do? This week has been an absolute roller coaster, and I have come to some incredible decisions. I'm confident that I'll restart my cannabis fast as soon as I stop vibrating from the realization that my marriage is over. You have to admit, that's one hell of a son of a bitch to process. I am grateful that I hold myself to a low standard, and it doesn't bother me that much for my lapse. It's all right. Not smoking pot for those 8 days opened up a window of insight, and I definitely saw clear and concrete benefits to not smoking pot all the time. Well, then Tuesday happened. Tuesday was a really big day. I realized that day that there is no path to resolving my marital problems. And there is only one path left for me, the one less traveled, the one where I draw the line, the one where I put my needs above the needs of the marriage, the road where I put myself first. In the past, I have made terrible decisions regarding relationships. But today, I feel empowered. And being empowered, I take my power back. I reconnect myself with myself. It is high time I made my decisions based on my truth. From this point forward, no more coaxing, no more educational material, no more begging for a response. Today is a new dawn. No more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and I won't be back. That's right. I'll hit the road, Jack. Right now, I have more questions than answers. And even though I'm a recognized expert on communication, I'm not exempt from having communication problems. Hell, CPTSD is one big, giant communication problem. CPTSD is created from communication problems, and it is fed and nurtured by communication problems. What a nightmare this is. My experience of CPTSD created a false sense of reality that I pursued for the majority of my life. It was a fantasy that I tried to attach my real life to. What could go wrong, right? Like you, psychotherapists also struggle to find solutions to their own relationship problems. Sometimes, even the most gifted therapist is unable to find effective interventions for warring couples. For most of my life, I was flying blind. I was totally clueless about the state of my own mental health, and it wasn't until after I retired from the therapy office that I began to realize that something serious is going on here. CPTSD has been a hidden shadow for most of my life. And as painful as it has been when CPTSD has raised its ugly head, I am sitting here today feeling grateful that I am now aware of this shitty-ass condition. You can only work on the problems you are aware of. If you are not aware of your problems, then you have nothing to work on. And it's the world that has problems. So today I am grateful for my marriage helping me to realize this truth. Learning about what has been going on all my life has been a welcome relief. Much of my life has been filled with overwhelming anxiety, depression, and hopelessness. But now, I am getting better at managing my triggers, and I know what I need to do. Knowing I have had CPTSD has opened up the doors to self-exploration and has given me a new lease on life. I credit my wife for helping to come to this awareness. I have been struggling with the communication problems in our relationship for years, and I'm still struggling with the same problems. It's the same argument every time, regardless of how I approach it. But as of Tuesday, I realize the changes I thought I needed are never going to occur. Sure, I always had this hunch, but now it's clear. And I take full responsibility for my role in this mess of a marriage. I have learned a lot about myself since moving to Costa Rica over 5 years ago. My Spanish has slowly but steadily improved, while the intimacy in our marriage has slowly eroded away. CPTSD has contributed greatly to that erosion. Acting out on my triggers has been extremely damaging to my wife's ability to trust me. And her only response, to withdraw, has damaged my trust in her. Our attachment styles are polar opposites. We are human push-me-pull-yous. There are many things I love dearly about her, but it dismays me greatly that our primary conflicts will never be resolved. The pattern has been the same for years. I would love to sit down and discuss these destructive patterns in our marriage, but I'm doubtful we can make that happen. Each time I opened up a dialogue, it would fall into the void. There would be no response, only a black emptiness. This lack of response led to more anxiety for me, and I doubled down on trying to engage, which, of course, led to more withdrawal on her part. It's a never-ending spiral of death. It's time to pull the ejection cord on this flight and call it quits. She's going down in flames, and I'm wondering what happens next. For many years, I referred clients to a book by Eileen McCann and illustrated by Douglas Shannon. Is called The Two-Step, The Dance Towards Intimacy. McCann's imagination reflects the power dynamics of most intimate relationships, and the illustrations by Shannon leave no doubt in the mind what the problem looks and feels like. I was hoping The Two-Step would help my wife and me with our struggles, but the only time the book came up was in the middle of a trigger, and if you know triggers, you know this is not the time to do emotional work. She would angrily wave the book in my face, and in my rage, I would snatch the book out of her hands and throw it across the room. Fuck that book! I screamed with righteous indignation. This is how 2 6-year-olds handle a problem, not how 2 grown-up. I know that was sucky of me. Her intentions were good, but her timing was bad. I needed to calm down so I could recognize and separate myself from the crisis. I become an emotionally distraught 6-year-old boy when triggered. I need to exit stage left and self-soothe instead of diving in head first. Diving in never works. Most people would agree that it's not possible to communicate effectively with an enraged 6-year-old boy. A timeout is in order here, which is a skill I'm working on. I know my wife has a lot of anxiety when she contacts me, not unlike the anxiety I have when I contact her. When she told me there is pain in her stomach whenever she thinks about contacting me, I told her the pain is probably anxiety. She never responded to my assessment, but went on to describe her doctor's response. Her body is somatizing her emotional load, and she is unable to see this connection. She has faith in the science of medicine, but not in the science of the mind, and there is no evidence this is going to change. She is who she is, And that's the way it is. She's a good person, and just like the rest of us, she's trying to figure out what the fuck is going on and what the fuck to do. Join the party, eh? Would you like to improve your communication? Well, here are three simple steps that will make an immediate impact. Implement these strategies into your repertoire, and life will get better. Step one, stay in your own lane. You can't speak for the other person. You can only speak to your own needs, your own wants, and your own desires. Keep in mind that it is the responsibility of the speaker to be clear, and it is the responsibility of the listener to listen. Step two, practice self-soothing. Use your breath to help you regain clarity in your message. Breathe deeply and slowly. In addition, know exactly what you want to say. It must be clear in your mind before you can convey it clearly to another person. And step three, use what they call an I message. This is a way of talking to your loved one, your boss, your child, or pretty much anyone else. It's easy to do and extremely effective. It helps you to stay on your side of the road. First of all, I messages have two I's in them. Like your head has two I's. It's basically a two-step process. Step one, state how you are feeling. For example, I feel sad. I feel happy. Or I feel anxious. Now, in step two, you state the experience. When I'm not included in your plans. When I see your smiling face. When I get no response from you. Together, they sound like this. I feel sad when I'm not included in your plans. I feel happy when I see your smiling face. I feel anxious when I get no response from you. Repeat steps one and two as many times as you need to. Notice the conspicuous use of the word I in each of the examples. Usually, people put a U in there when describing the experience. Don't do that. You'll be tempted to put a U in there, but don't. If you practice these simple steps, the communication will improve. But if you're in a situation similar to mine, where your partner doesn't respond, don't waste your time. Use that time to get real with yourself and your choices. For that, I recommend meditation and some cognitive behavioral therapy. Fixing your fucked up thought process will make a big difference. If you are listening to Out of My Mind in Costa Rica, then you know the key to life is taking responsibility for your sorry ass. Don't go saying, oh, that bitch, she never listened to anybody. Fuck her. Thinking like this is a setup for the evil part of you that thrives on the drama. Stop the drama. Put your big boy pants on and go love yourself. The better you get at self-soothing, the more confidence you will have to step up to the plate and do what you need to do to reclaim yourself. It doesn't happen overnight, so be patient, yet persevere with purpose. Thank you so much for coming by my humble podcast where I do my best to do the right thing. The main takeaways this week is this. Self-soothing is self-love. This simple act of kindness will take you farther than you've ever been. Also, if you're so inclined, please help Out of My Mind in Costa Rica reach more people. Share it with everyone you know, because everyone you know knows somebody who is suffering from CPTSD. Got a question? Send me an email at ray@rayerickson.com. I will get back to you right away. If you are listening to Out of My Mind in Costa Rica on a platform that allows you to rate the podcast or let you review or make a comment, then let your voice be heard. It's time to speak out. It's time to unify. So until the next time, be courageous. Be strong. Be kind. I'll catch you later. Bye.